I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I got a speeding ticket in the mail yesterday.
In the mail?
Yeah. I think I'm going to just ignore it.
It's Mike Shope.
Where was this?
Spain.
And the Bulldog.
I think if I just lay low, I think I'll get away with it.
Not mention it on the air?
Definitely don't want to talk about it on the air.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I like the sound of this more and more as we go. I'm an outlaw.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, hey, all right, everybody. Good afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off. Zach Jones alongside. And we have a pretty juicy day from yesterday to sink our teeth into. I think, anyway, we'll see how you all feel about that as we go. Maybe some of you won't. I won't find out whether you like this idea and conversation. But if I hear from some of you, that will give me some degree of a clue. We are yet another year further down the road from the Toronto Maple Leafs having won the Stanley Cup. 58 years now, the Leafs have gone without the Cup. They won in 1967 and have not won since. And look, this is not a Toronto show. This is a Buffalo show. But I feel like there is, you know, I've got some things to say about the Leafs and the game and the whole of it. But I feel like there is an opportunity to have a conversation about how many of you, and even me, are feeling about the Bills as they compare to the Leafs. I think there is a certain amount of synergy there from a not being able to get to the final destination standpoint. And how long do you go? One of the best teams in the league year over year. That is very true of the Bills. It has been very true of the Leafs. And that's why there's so much bitterness when one or the other, really, we care more about the Bills here, don't come through in the end and keep hitting their head on a familiar ceiling. In the case of the Bills, it's more so one team. For a while for the Leafs, it was the Bruins, but it's really been anybody they play in the playoffs. Usually, I mean, they haven't been past the second round in a long, long time now, and got eliminated again last night on home ice in a game 7 that was as meek a performance as you could have in front of your fans. It might be like a legendarily meek performance in front of your fans if they hadn't just put maybe an unbeatable score on the board a few nights earlier in game 5. They had two home games in this series, tied 2-2 and tied 3-3, and got outscored 12-2 in the two games. 6-1 the score in both games, and neither game would be a situation where you would go, oh yeah, but it was much closer than that. In fact, I would say last night's game which it's funny. Like I watched all of Game 5. I don't really remember anything about it because it gets blown out of the water by the Game 7 performance from Toronto. I would say that the Leafs were incredibly fortunate to get out of the first period tied 0-0. Although they did have their best 10 minutes of the game really in the back half of the first period. So, I mean, maybe you could even argue that they could have taken a lead there. But, you know, hang a banner. You know, we had a good 10 minutes in Game 7 is maybe something you could – we've got a lot of creative people out there that do this for the Bills, but or really more pointedly the Sabres, hanging, you know, stupidly worded banners. But for the Leafs, it was incredible to turn on a Game 7 and feel like the home team was the team that needed to survive the first 10 minutes of the game. Right? That is usually – you can almost bank on it. You turn on any playoff game, but the later you get in the series, you know, the more juice this sort of comment has, the more likely you are to hear it. But you'll hear it in Game 1 of a series about the road team. You'll hear it in Game 5 about the got to survive the first 10 minutes. The crowd's going to be juiced. You know, this team's going to come barreling out of the dressing room. Fans are at a fever pitch, you know, waving pom-poms or t-shirts or whatever, and they're going to be, oh, it's going to be hell. We just got to put our head down, play a simple game, and just try to get to the second TV timeout and catch our breath. And that was really the position Toronto was in last night, hosting the Florida Panthers in a Game 7. It was just ridiculous. Not up to it in any way, shape, or form. So there are things about the Leafs interestingly, I think, to talk about from a Buffalo perspective might be Mitch Marner at some point. Not that it's realistic at all, but it's worth dreaming about, I think, because of the reputation that some of these guys have now. And really the core four, Marner, Matthews, Tavares, and William Nylander. And like, that is where the crossover to me sort of comes in with the Bills. I think, for me anyway, as an observer of the league, the NHL I'm talking about, my stance mostly on the Leafs through this era, right? With these guys, with these high picks, Matthews a 101, the free agent signing of Tavares, what the Leafs were building and trying to win with. I mostly would, you get to the end, you lose to a good team, whether it's in the first round or a couple of times here recently in the second round. You get there and you lose, and well, it's hockey, and you know, there's bad breaks, and the other team is really good, and you've got a lot of talent. Keep going. Keep going. Sort of like Sean McDermott says, right? There's the crossover. You keep knocking on the door until it opens. Or you break it down from knocking so persistently and so hard. And that has been how I have felt about the Leafs through this, and mostly how I would say I have felt about the Bills. I mean, the Bills have changed out personnel here. The core of the team really is Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins, you could say. Maybe Ed Oliver's in that core, but like a lot of it has changed over the years. You started out with Tremaine Edmonds, now you've got Terrell Bernard. You started out with Tre'Davious White, and now you've got Christian Benford as your number one corner. So you had Stephon Diggs for a while. Now you've got Everybody Eats. So the personnel has changed, and the Leafs have really, they've changed. You know, I guess around that core, they've changed over the years, and they don't, you know, no hockey team is the exact same team year over year. It just does not work that way. They've also done something the Bills have yet to do during this stretch of five straight division titles, and that is change management and or coaches. This all started out for the Leafs with Austin Matthews and Nylander and Marner with Babcock as their coach. And he eventually went by the wayside, and in here comes Sheldon Keefe. He rides for a while, and we've reached it. We've gone as far as we can go with this. We need a coach who can instill a more disciplined defensive style. Any of this sound familiar? And Berube comes in this year. And I would say that was relatively successful. The Leafs played more like a team prepared to play in the playoffs through the whole season and through the first round than maybe they ever have during that core's existence. But these two games at home within the last week, Game 5 and Game 7, it's got to be enough. I could no longer objectively from far away, and I recognize, like, this is an easier thing to do. Most of the pushback I ever got about saying this about the Leafs, you know, it wasn't a ton of feedback. Again, we're not in Toronto, and I recognize that, but we do share some audience here, and certainly plenty of Toronto hockey fans are also Bills fans and NFL fans. So, you know, I feel like the audience is mixed enough. The pushback would be, like, it's easy for you to say you're not a fan. And that's right. I mean, I agree. I think being a fan can make you more passionate about it. And when you are passionate about things, you can tend to overreact. It's why, you know, I think it's best in life. It doesn't always work this way, but I think it's best in life if you can avoid making decisions about important stuff when you're running hot. Because when you're running hot, you are more prone to make a mistake and overreact. So, yeah, of course, I'm not a Leaf fan. I'm a hockey fan. I like when Toronto does well. I think it's a cool story in the league. That's really all of it for me with them, by the way. I mean, sure, my friend John Gale was sitting in my living room yesterday. He's a proud Canadian, born and raised in Port Colborne. He's lived all over Canada and all over the world, but lives here now. And, you know, he was a teenager when the Leafs won in 1967. He's been waiting. He never even got wound up about it last night. It was almost a non-event. It wasn't even very, very emotional, as it turned out, sitting in the living room watching it. But it would be impossible now for me to say they don't need to change anything. And where the crossover comes in to me with maybe more exclusively our audience and Bills fans is how close to that ledge are you on the Bills? We've seen five straight division titles. We've seen tons of points. We've seen the what is it? The best record over this stretch of time, these 5 years, to have not won a Super Bowl. In other words, no other team has won more games in a time span since the Bills started winning the AFC East in 2020. No other team in football has won as many games as the Bills have without winning the Super Bowl. Or maybe it's without reaching the Super Bowl. Either way, you know where the ceiling is, and you know where the Bills keep hitting their heads on. It's the Chiefs, and it's been the AFC title game twice. It's been the divisional round twice, and you can't get by it. And I struggle. Like Mike, a while ago, I think maybe even pretty early on after the season ended, after another disappointing, heartbreaking loss at the hands of the Chiefs in the AFC title game back in January, they're like, I think this might be it. And I struggle with that because you kind of want to see it, right? Like what happens? How did it go? Who, if anyone, or maybe a few different people, who have the smoking gun of ineptitude? Like who caused the Bills to hit their head again? And we all know the history, and the case has been made multiple times about McDermott's shortcomings, chiefly 13 seconds, which is unavoidable in any kind of conversation like this. You've had this history where the same outcome. It's not always the same script, but it's the same outcome. I can't get by it. And I wonder now, I mean, not that you need the Leafs for the comparison, but it's a frame of reference here. I would tell you I'm done supporting them continuing to keep going. I mean, they really have no choice now. Some of the choices are actually going to be made for them. Tavares and Marner's contracts are up. They are unrestricted free agents July 1. And so I would anticipate, considering that they already had a trade set up, think about how different so much of this could have been if Mitch Marner agrees to go to the Colorado. Wait, no, it was Carolina. It was the second time he got traded. Rattanen was in Carolina, miserable. Carolina knew they weren't going to sign him to an extension. Let's try to get out of this. And they ended up shipping him to Dallas. That was around the deadline. And the Leafs had, it came to be known, the Leafs had a trade lined up, sending Marner to Carolina. I don't remember if there are any other particulars. I don't think it particularly matters whether there were or not. The kingpins of the trade were Marner and Rantanen. And Marner, holding no trade protection, killed it. And so, no contract extension. He got, stood in the way of the Leafs making a move to change their core four in advance of the playoffs, and then, on top of it all, failed to come through in the playoffs once again. He's done. There. I mean, it's over. It's not turning around. So, you know, to support trying to keep that thing together seems just ridiculous at this point. A part of my sort of consistent stance of like keep going, keep knocking on the door, like McDermott says, as it pertains to Toronto, has largely been, well, these guys are young and they're under contract, and what are you doing? Right? You probably... going to have a hard time winning any trade. Now, I think Rantanen for Marner would have been a pretty fair trade, and the Leafs might have even won the trade. Rantanen has had one of the best playoffs in history this year with Dallas. So Marner's done. Like, there's no way that they could bring him back, even on some kind of sweet hometown discount, if that were even realistic. Like, it's over for him. Blocking that trade and then not coming through again, like, that's forget it. On the Bills' end of that, really the thing that they haven't done, which I've already alluded to, that Toronto has done a couple of times. I mean, they changed out Kyle Dubas and as GM, and I already gave you the rundown on the coaching track. So they have tried that already. What they've never done is really change the key personnel. I wonder what kind of appetite Bills fans would have. I shouldn't say Bills fan. I know some of the fan base. I've never wanted to say it was most or a majority or anything like that, but it's a persistent group, and it probably is ever-growing because the longer you go without winning, the more – winning the Super Bowl, getting to the Super Bowl. The longer you go without doing that, people that are holding out on, I got to change the coach, start like, I hear you. I guess maybe. I don't know what else to do. I guess I'll do that. Because they've changed, again, plenty of personnel. We're on to a second rotation of fortify the defense. That's my problem. I can't stop the Chiefs. I mean, that was the story after 2020, but especially after 2021. I got to get pass rushers. I got to get Von Miller. I got to draft AJ Epinesa. I got to draft Gregory Rousseau. I got to draft Boogie Basham. I got to do all this to try to combat what the Chiefs are doing to me. So personnel, we've been through it. They've not changed any part of significantly the hierarchy. I mean, some assistant GMs have moved on to become GMs. Some assistant coaches have moved to other assistant coaching positions. I don't think Daboll got a head coaching job after a highly successful run here as coordinator. But they've not changed the top guys. And I wonder if fans are just going to be, you know, we get through this season. Here's why I sort of get self-conscious, because I don't want to speak in a way that says I'm expecting them to fall short. But if it were to happen again, I just feel like we're not really going to have a better idea. And in saying that, I'm not saying it's indefensible to consider changing out McDermott. Like, I'm bored. I don't know what else to do. Fire him and start over. What I am saying is it's a place on the board that we have been talking about and considering. Part of my trouble in getting any traction in the conversation is that I haven't really ever felt like it was a realistic possibility within ownership. I just don't think that they think they have a problem. And that does not mean they don't. And maybe another year will come and go, and the amount of fans that are just, I can't keep doing this. Again, like Toronto, we keep doing the same thing. Something's got to give. Something's got to change. And I think it's pro sports. The people running the teams, coaches and GMs, do not get to have jobs for life. They usually get changed out well before the players do. And so we've got this Nick Costas had this stat about coaches and quarterbacks together as long as McDermott and Allen have been together. Never, what is it, like after 5 years?
It's 5 years, yeah.
They don't even get to the Super Bowl, let alone win it. Like those relationships don't get as much time normally. So I don't know. I hope I'm not sort of weaving too wildly all over the road here and mixing in the Toronto Maple Leafs and our beloved Buffalo Bills. But I feel like synergy is not exact. There's just a comparison to be made within the franchises and the fan bases about your appetite for change. The fans are always ahead of the owners and the GMs if they're talking about replacing a coach. I mean, it just that's natural. The appetite that I have sensed for the Bills to make a move on McDermott as these seasons have wound down, it came earlier than I ever thought it would. Like, I was stunned at how much traction it had just after 13 seconds. And I know that what the scorecard tells you is if you felt that way in January of 21, or it would have been January of 22 following the 21 season, if you felt that way then, you have not been proven wrong. I mean, that's obviously readily apparent because they have not gotten any farther than they did, you know, they got as far last year as they did in 2020. And so they're kind of running in place. And no change has been made, and maybe you get to a place where one, even if you've been relatively supportive, like I feel like I have been mostly. I mean, I've had my moments. Talk about speaking, and I mean, I don't get to make decisions. I get to make a decision about what I want to say and how I'm feeling. And man, after after that Eagle game year before last, I was hot. I was done. I can't keep doing this. So we've all maybe reached that point at different times, but I ended up, I don't know, walking it back is a very popular phrasing. I don't know. I'd said I was wrong. That's walking it back, I guess, right? I want that back because I think there's been a lot more good than bad with McDermott and Bean running the Bills. So I remain what I think is very supportive. I am rooting, especially for McDermott. I feel like we hear from him more. I talk to him more. I don't know if I've talked to Brandon Bean on the air once or twice maybe in the whole time he's been here. McDermott used to be weekly with us, and then he was on intermittently with us again last year, which was nice to be able to revisit that relationship with him. The sit down he just recently did with Sal and Matt Bove, he comes across like, I think to me, any one of you out there that will call and tell me what you want and how badly you want it and how much it means to you. McDermott is entirely, in my opinion, believable in that way. So like, I'm rooting for him. I think it'd be a great story, just like I was rooting for the Leafs. It's not just because of my friend John Gale, and it's not because of proximity or the uniforms that they've been around since the invention of pro hockey. It's the story. I mean, all of that makes their story more compelling. Can't do it. I am a...
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Endless sucker for the narrative of a team that can't break through. Ovechkin's never going to win the cup. You want some old stereotype? He's Russian. He doesn't care that much about the Stanley Cup as much as the good Canadian boys do. And, you know, they're never going to make it. And then until they did, and then they won. Like that happening in sports to me is almost what it's all about. You're doubted, you're contending, you're excellent, fall short, you're never going to do it, break it up, they're fatally cursed, bodies are buried under the rink or the goalpost or something, right, all this stuff, and then, oh, they did it. What happened? They did it. That's what I was rooting for with Toronto. I think anything that gives you hope, even if you're not a Toronto fan, we're in Buffalo, we're very familiar, intimately familiar with the Leafs and their fan base. That fan base, I know they'd be insufferable in the capes and the tinfoil cups and all the stuff that I've made fun of them about for decades here on the radio. But it would be a story if you can pull back from the emotion of being a Sabres fan and not liking the Leafs or hating the Leafs. You would have to admit that is the most compelling story in the playoffs. I think it was even a more compelling story than Connor McDavid chasing his first Stanley Cup because of the duration. So like anything like that in sports that gives you hope, I think can then give other people, i.e. Bills fans, that same hope. Well, look, they stuck with it and they did it. They're not fatally cursed. They're not flawed in some way that you can't repair it. And that McDermott and the Bills to me are that same sort of narrative. So I'm pulling for them. Obviously, I mean, did I even need to say that? I mean, I work here. I live here. I love the Bills. But I think objectively without an emotional attachment, it would be a great story if they finally broke through with that coach. But how long do you want to go? I think the Leafs have hit their endpoint, at least from a roster construction standpoint. I doubt that they're going to change the coach out. They just did that last year. So it'll be time to move the players around and the important pieces around. Just a massive letdown and that had to be for them last night. What a disaster. I'll save it. I got plenty of time, and I'm already late to the first break because I'm a moron. 803-0550 is the number. You get the gist of what I'm talking about here? Patience, how much of it do you have left? That kind of thing. Any just general observations on the Leafs flailing like they did in games 5 and 7, also definitely welcomed. Our old friend Joe Yurden with Bleacher Report was in Toronto for both game 5 and game 7. He'll be with me at 4. We'll pour over all of this with Paul Hamilton at 5. And Brian Koziel will join me at 6 to go over Scottie Scheffler's major win in the PGA yesterday in North Carolina. So that is what's to come in between. Lots of time for your calls. So hit it up. 803-0550 is the number. Mike is off today along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
I mean, what else can you do but laugh?
You're the visitor. I guess you could boo like the fans there, but you're not going to be doing that. But do you understand why they did?
This is brutal. This is men versus boys right now, completely unprepared. I think they've lost every single 50-50 puck battle. Don't know else how to describe it, but pathetic performance.
That is Paul Bissonnette on the TNT broadcast intermission show. I believe that was after period number two, saw the Leafs get blitzed in the opening 10 minutes of period one, play a pretty solid back half of that period, but still scoreless, and then in the span of about 6.5 minutes, 3-0, and it's guys, who? What is happening? And then even after that, the third period starts, right? I'm sure the building's dead. John Gale was breathing on my couch, but he was dead inside, I could tell. And, oh, here's a goal. Like 2 minutes into the period, oh, a goal. I even said, okay, 3-1. Get a power play, another good. You make it 3-1. You've got now... Yeah, and only, again, 2 minutes into the period, it's 3-1. You've got about 15 minutes to get a second goal, provided you don't give anything up. You got about 15 minutes to get a second goal, make it 3-2, and then pull the goalie and the late blitz and the whole thing. Or you could give up a goal 47 seconds later that makes it 4-1, and, like, that's it. Turn out the lights. Like, it is over, sucker. Like, that was it. So incredible. Like, it was such a letdown. The two game sevens yesterday were just horrendous. The basketball game was, 14 point game at half and just boat race city for Oklahoma City. I mean, I'm happy about that. I have them in Dallas Stars on parlay with championship winners out there for the future. So, like, I'm alive. No buyout yet. Somebody's probably got to get on the board with an actual trophy before they start thinking about that. But anyway, just as big a letdown as you could get. Last night in Toronto with that effort. I mean, it's one thing to lose to a great team, and Florida is almost inarguably, I would say, a great team. I mean, they've been to the final 2 years running. They're in the conference final here in a third year with a chance to go to a third straight final. And, I mean, they're just built for it. And it's one thing if it's close. And sure, it's a close series in the end. I mean, seven-game series, but... Man, 6-1 in game 5, 6-1 in game 7 is you got to bust things up when that happens, I think. Rob is first up this segment. Hi, Rob. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener.
Thank you for listening.
I go all the way back to the coach days, way back.
Nice. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Lifetime Leaf fan, lifetime Bills fan. So I'm a manic depressive by nature.
Uh-huh.
There's been a lot of comparison to the Bills and the Leafs. The Bills, I still have hope. The Bills, and you can tell it by the leadership. You'll take the two best players, Austin Matthews and Josh Allen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Josh Allen quit. He's there every playoff game, and the Leafs, they just quit last night. And I've never been so depressed with the Bills. Maybe Super Bowl, I think it was 27 or 28 in the second half against the Cowboys when it just seemed like the air came out of the balloon and we were leading at the half. But this team just, I know Marner's gone. There's no way they're going to keep him. Not at that price. I know Tavares is gone. What they need to do is get a I'll lose my Leaf fandom for saying this, but they need a Marchand. They really do. They need somebody like that. But the Bills are close. You know, like the Bills are just so close. And there's really no – and I don't say that with the Leafs. And they got beat by a better team. Mm-hmm. I can live with that. But when the Bills play the Chiefs, they're in the game. Like one play, two plays, they could win. I didn't feel that last night.
Oh, yeah, no question. The comparison only goes so far, Rob. Thank you for calling. I think, you get to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know you should be anyway. I mean, Carolina didn't exactly have much to deal with Washington. You're going to be playing somebody really good. How close are you? It's observational and it's an opinion. As much as I was rooting for Toronto just for the narrative flipping story that it would be, I don't think they really had a chance. I think Florida's the only team in the East, frankly. I don't like Carolina that much. They got the easiest draw you could have possibly gotten with Montreal and Washington. Forget about the points Washington had. That was not a team that is on the level of Florida. And I don't think Carolina's, you know, they're the better team. They might be the second best team in the East. I mean, they've made it this far. I think Florida should handle them. I don't think Carolina can beat any of, I'm saying any, there's only the two left, but even Winnipeg, if they had gotten off the mat and found a way to win game seven, I think any one of those three teams out West, Dallas, Edmonton still alive, Winnipeg just got eliminated. I think any one of those three is beating anybody from the East with the exception of Florida. I think Florida is the only team that can pack the lumber to go to battle with those teams out West, especially Dallas. I think that is just a – and like Carolina wants to play that game, but I just don't think they have enough. Whereas Florida, just the experience they've got, the goaltending, I just think they're set up really well to compete with those teams. So, you know, I want to be careful about representing how close Toronto really was. I don't believe in my heart of hearts if they'd won last night that they – I would like them against Carolina, I would tell you that much. But I don't think they were going to win the cup. But it's, you know, you get there and who knows, right? So the comparisons only go so far. The fact that the Bills are so close and that Allen has played like he has is what gets you to McDermott. Like, I do not have a kingpin player problem on the Bills. I mean, the most important guy has been Cincinnati game excluded. I'm not trying to be convenient. That's his one sort of down playoff game. The rest of it has been, he's done almost as much as you could ask him to do. I mean, one more drive the last 2 years, you get a whole different story maybe. So, I mean, there's room even in within that. But mostly, I think fan sentiment definitely represents this. It's one of the reasons why I like to sort of push back against that with Allen having the ball inside the 2-minute warning with a chance to win 2 years in a row and not coming through. But still, you do not have a star player problem. So what problem do you have then? Well, it's what else is left? Coach. I've got a coach problem. I've got a defense that can't complement what Allen's doing well enough. And that is different than the Leafs. Really, at this point, I would say the Leafs have the right coach. I mean, the system they installed, I think, gave them a better opportunity this year than really any of the years past. But the star players just could not come through. 803-0550 is the number. Larry's up next. Hi, Larry. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. How's it going?
Good. Thanks.
Just calling, for me, almost a quick comparison to McDermott is almost Andy Reid when he was with the Eagles. All those years, I mean, granted, he didn't have the star quarterback he had with McNabb, but pretty good one. But all those years of getting to NFC championships, I think it was one Super Bowl that mm-hmm. they finally broke through but lost. I hate to say it, and I'm kind of with you. I'd love to see McDermott be the coach that takes us all the way. I think he's done a great job bringing back respectability to the organization, bringing back that winning culture, doing everything the right way. But I hate to say it, I almost see him like an Andy Reid with the Eagles, where it's going to be close, 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 but no cigar. I mean, some of those, you look back at the 13 seconds, you look back at some of the coaching decisions, some of it in the big games where he just naturally reverts back to that conservative nature. And I think everything, it's bit us in the butt sometimes. I really hope I'm wrong, because I'd love to see the guy win here. Obviously, I'd love to see the Bills win with anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't care who the coach is, who yeah. the quarterback, just give me one.
Yeah.
But I really, it's almost like he's trending where he's going to be that guy that's going to stay here another 2 or 3 years or 4 years, keep getting us close, keep winning AFC East titles, but just not being able to get over that hump.
Thank you for the call, Larry. Yeah, I do think within that, you're talking about McDermott and his conservative nature, and I think that definitely was applicable early in this rise. Like, you know, in 2020, in the championship game, there's some, as Mike would call them, wimpy field goals. I think he has evolved over the years to the point where I think hanging on to that is mostly unfair. I think he's not really like that anymore, but it's other stuff that has tripped him up and tripped them up. Frankly, just not being able to stop. Maybe conservative in how you're calling your defense within the game, but a lot of the stuff, the aggressiveness on fourth downs, the Bills' version of the tush push, like they've done a lot of sort of leading the way in not being conservative, and I give McDermott a lot of credit for changing that part of his coaching makeup. Thank you for the calls. Appreciate it. Still time for you, of course, here between now and Joe Yurden coming up at the top of the hour. He was in Toronto for games 5 and 7. So last night, fresh off of that assignment, we'll talk to Joe about all things related to, well, how that series unfolded, the playoffs in general, and, of course, the Sabres way forward. But still time for you to get a call in now at 803-0550. We'll hit up a break, come back after this. I am the Bulldog. Mike is off today, and this is WGR. Happy to have you hanging here with us on a Monday afternoon. Unseasonably cool Monday afternoon for May 19th. I'm going to get a DM from Pat Hammer. I don't know what the stats say, but it feels cool. I mean, we were in shorts and tank tops.
It was nice. It was lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. I played golf yesterday. It was like 52 degrees when we teed off, and 3 hours later, it was still 52 degrees. What's going on there?
No.
give me a little something here. Come on. Anyway, glad to have you with us here on a Monday. Mike has the day off today. Zach Jones, fresh off a little long weekend in Pittsburgh, here alongside Joe Yurden coming up at the top of the hour. Paul Hamilton at 5. Been a while since we touched base with Paul. We'll go over the NHL playoffs with both of those guys. And maybe the Amherst, too. Joe's been on that beat, and Paul certainly has been as well. So plenty of hockey as we go through today. Some golf at the tail end with Brian Koziel. Not that we have to wait until then to talk about the PGA Championship. One thing. This is maybe it's certainly a matter of personal taste, and might very likely be overly nitpicky by me. But when Rory completed the career Grand Slam at the Masters back in April, the reaction, I mean, that was a catharsis that took place there.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I mean, he was almost convulsing when he was on his knees on the green, like just so emotional that he finally not only completed the career Grand Slam, but you know, won a major after more than 10 years since he had last done it. And so television, CBS, to me, did what you should do in that situation. Just get out of the way. You know, the cameras certainly weren't out of the way. I mean, they were right there, but they followed Rory without Jim Nance and Trevor Immelman and everyone like telling you what was happening. Just let the pictures tell the story. And, you know, he's congratulating and getting congratulations from everyone leaving the 18th green, the long walk to the scorer's tent, and the whole thing. And it warranted that. I felt like yesterday, yes, Scheffler is the world's number one. He's excellent. It's a third major. It's an achievement. He maybe even is underrated and overshadowed by guys with bigger personalities who've been around longer, like Rory and even like a guy like DeChambeau to some extent. I just thought leaving that scene in silence for as long as they did was weird. I just did not, it felt weird's not right. You always are going to show that, all of that, but the silence, I just thought it was forced. I don't, I'll stop short of saying inappropriate because it wasn't offensive. It just felt to me like someone decided ahead of time, hey, you know that thing we did when Rory won? That was awesome and everybody loved it and people were crying and we got a lot of positive reactions. Let's just do that again. And like, I'm sorry, Scotty winning his third major is great. And he's great and he was emotional. It's just not rate anywhere near. It's a major win. It does not rate anywhere near McIlroy and the pursuit he was on for more than 10 years and the career Grand Slam. It just felt a little bit too much like, you know, well, this worked before, so we got a lot of credit for it, so let's do it again. And I thought it was weird. Odd, maybe weird's too strong too. I didn't like it. I thought it was forced. Again, it wasn't offensive. I just thought it was a weird choice.
I kind of got there too. I think it was Adam Schefter tweeted that Scotty was now 50% of the way to the career Grand Slam. And I'm like, I don't know if we totally say that now. Like, let's let Rory's achievement simmer.
Yeah.
Scotty's still got to win. Like, if he wins a U.S. Open or an Open Championship within this year, we could talk about it. But like,
sure,
this feels a bit forced.
Yeah, you need to get the third one.
Yeah, before we can really have that conversation.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Like, we don't have to rush to it. It was great. Like, the golf was funny, man. Like, we had the bet. Mike won with Scheffler. And as the day was beginning, I was texting with Brian, and I'm like, oh, we're so dead. And then, you know, Rahm shows up. Well, Mike had Rahm, as it turns out. So I'm rooting for Scheffler because Rahm was going to cost us more. He was on tier two. He was on the full, the full amount tier, where Scheffler was only a 50% payout. But it looked like he was in a rocking chair, and then, like, maybe – he kind of blew it / Rahm just took it, and then Scheffler just reasserted himself, and it ended up being a rocking chair in the end down the stretch. But still a tremendous achievement by pointing out what I'm pointing out about the broadcast. I'm not taking anything away from Scheffler. It was fantastic, especially that he sort of got rocked there mid-round and managed to recover. A lot of guys just, it gets away from them and they're just chasing it and they just never really quite get it all the way back. I mean, he like snapped right back to it, I think, in the 10th tee box. Just tremendous, tremendous outing by him. But just a strange, I thought, choice by the broadcast at the end. 803-0550 is the number. I just said that out of habit because Joe Yurden is coming up here, and so we'll take calls after that at about 4:30. So stay tuned. Joe Yurden was in Toronto for games 5 and 7 of this Leaf-Panther series with the lowdown on what he witnessed as we continue here on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts, everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.